Welcome to Sexy Mom Abundant Life with best-selling author and coach Kathy Williams, a show to help you tap into the support of the universe and access the abundance that's available in every area of your life. Listen in for conversations and tools to create more ease, joy, and possibility with family, relationships, business, and living. Kathy's joyful perspective will help you tap into your own wisdom and create a life of presence and abundance your way. Listen live on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, or anytime on iTunes or at IOM FM.
Welcome to Sexy Mom Abundant Life. This is Kathy Williams, and today on the show, we're going to talk about writing. And it's so funny because I sent out the email to my list and asked people for, what are your hang-ups around writing? You know, I have worked with over 20 authors, getting their work out into the world, refining, creating, you know, and a lot of the hangups we have are similar, if not the same, maybe showing up in a different way. So we're going to talk about a lot of those today, from I don't know what to say to who me an author, really, who am I to be an author? To, well, I'm not a good speller, and there are just so many things we allow to stop us. I don't have the time, or I'm nervous people are going to judge me. And for me, that was really the big one, right? Like, how do I say this in such a way that the fewest people judge me? Now, that's a really interesting confine to put on your writing, right? If you're trying to say something in the way that the fewest people are going to judge you, who's judging you the most, right? You are judging and judging and judging and trying to modify. And I just remember being like, okay, so what if someone judges me? You know, I mean, as I wrote to my list this morning, which you're welcome to sign up for at meetkathywilliams.com, and if you do, you'll be updated on what's our next show and also, you know, different events. Like, I will have a class for writers coming up online, which I'm super excited about. And if you're not a writer but would like to be, this is a great place to start. And if you are a writer but have some blocks or you haven't been writing, it's a great place to tap back in. And we'll be starting that next week. So you can find out about The Right Time, which is the name of it, The Right Time, at meetkathywilliams.com/upcoming. So I'm just going to end that little statement about my list by saying, if you go to the website meetkathywilliams.com, and sign up there, you will get a free Create Your Life exercise. And I get Facebook messages and emails from lots of people saying, this is the way I start my day, Kathy. And it's truly amazing. So check that out there at meetkathywilliams.com. And my name has a K, so the website does too. And you don't have to have a book as your desired outcome. You don't have to have a magazine article as what you're targeting for. I mean, you could just be writing for you or for your children or grandchildren or whatever it is, or a blog. I worked with a client and she created a great blog, you know, and it's lovely and so fun to read. And it took her a while to just get out of her own way. And that's the funny thing. A lot of the time, the writing is the smaller chunk than all of our extraneous thinking that's kind of piled on top of the writing, like our ideas or our fears or our judgments of ourselves or whatever. So this morning, what went out to my list was how being naked is like writing. And when I was first writing a chapter for the book, I'm Having It, which is about like a big choice you made, like a choice you made that changed your life. So I was writing about the choice to move from Connecticut, near New York City, all the way across the country and then across the ocean to Maui. And as I was writing that story, and then I added some tools to create your life with more ease, it felt super vulnerable. It felt like, oh my gosh, people are going to know about my thought process, and they're going to know about how I sat with my husband and we refined what we desired, and we tapped into the energy of that, and people may judge that. And they may judge, like, the tools that I give them, or they're going to judge how I write, and they're going to, you know, and so all of that can lead to paralysis, right, if you make it real. So to me, it felt more comfortable, not that I've ever done this or that this sounds comfortable, but it felt more comfortable to just strip and walk it around my town naked than to write a chapter and have it, you know, read by people that I may never see. Wow. So everywhere you feel more vulnerable to write something and get it out there, and it's that uncomfortable that you just don't do it, would you be willing to let that go? Would you be willing to just drop at least some of the hesitation and fear around that? Yeah, and what I like to do now is either invite you to do the Access Consciousness Clearing Statement, which can be found at theclearingstatement.com, or just invite it all. It's all been constructed by you. All those thoughts, all those feelings around this, or you've bought someone else's thoughts and feelings around this as true, and you're just going to collapse all of that and its effect on your life back to free-flowing energy. So you're free of it. Yeah. And since you're a highly creative being, whether you recognize that, acknowledge it or not, you know, we also create these stories in our head that confine us. So congratulations, you're already an amazing storyteller, right? If you have fears, if you have hesitations, if you have doubts, you're already an amazing storyteller. Now it's just a matter of allowing your creativity to create something for you instead of against you. Would you be willing to do that? All right. So one of the things that I love is Mel Robbins and her 5-second rule. Now, as an Access Consciousness facilitator, I had learned about living in 10-second increments, and that is like every 10 seconds you choose, which keeps you really present. And the thing about the 5-second rule is it actually changes the place your brain is functioning from, so you can make another choice. So what is this 5-second rule? Pretty much, it's like a rocket blasting off. So let's say you're like, I don't know what to write. I don't know where to get started. I'm not sure. You just say to yourself, okay, let me get the pen. Let me get the paper. And then 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and you just start. Okay, that's it. 5-second rule, you count down from 5 to 1, and you go. So I'm going to give you a tip. You know, when you don't know what to write, ask the project. Ask the creation. Ask what do people need to hear, right? Let's say you are writing and you're writing an email to your list or writing some copy for your website. Okay, what is it people really need to hear right now? What is it my list would love to hear? What do I know that would be a huge contribution to them? So you begin with a question. You could even write that question at the top of your page. There are so many ways to get started writing if you don't know where to start. You know, one is to just write about an insightful experience you've had recently, where it's like, I have one from yesterday. You know, I was talking with a client about he was worried about his finances. And the thing is, he said, Kathy, I have enough money for now, right? I got a nice tax refund, and I've been, work has been really good. I'm worried about money 2 to 3 months from now. And I was like, huh, okay. What I said to him gave him an insight, and I have the video on YouTube, so you can watch it. And so that would be an experience that I would write about. Like, oh, here's how we dealt with that situation. Or you can write about, so you can write a story from your own life, or you can write a story about someone else's life that gave you an insight. Or if you're a fiction writer, you can, you know, ask, okay, what is it I would love to write about? Like right now, what is it would like to come forth? And again, a question, right? Or what would it be fun to write about? So one of the things that kind of confines our writing, like it creates the box within which we write, is what we've decided about ourselves based on grade school, based on high school, based on like all the writing, all the essays, all the judgments of teachers, all the grades we got in school. So any and all mountains of evidence you have that you're not a good writer or can't communicate or you know, aren't going to be able to engage with people, would you be willing to just collapse all of that back to energy? Okay, are you the same person you were then? Okay. Do you like the same foods? Maybe a couple of them, but not all of them, right? Like, yeah, but when I was a kid, salami was one of my favorite foods. Like now, I wouldn't touch salami, like, to my lips, you know? That's just not of interest. So we neglect to acknowledge how much we've changed. So would you be willing to see how much you've changed and that you can, right? And that you are a creative person? And you know, when we come back from the break, I'll address hang-ups about grammar and punctuation. We have a lot of ground to cover today. We'll talk about more about like making time for writing and some more about the I don't know what to say or is anyone really gonna listen to me? Who am I to do this? So stick around, everybody, and we'll be back in just a moment to talk more about writing and what a gift it can be, not only for others, but also for your life in the process of writing. We grow so much from putting pen to page, whether anyone ever sees it or not. Okay. And you can find out, you know, I just had such a silly brain little thing. I was thinking the break was at 15 past the hour, and it's so not true. So, sometimes we also have such a better time writing if we do it for the process, right? If we just like, okay, if this becomes a book, awesome. But the idea that like, I should write a book, that's one of the things I heard from someone today. She said, I don't write because I should write a book. I know I'm supposed to write a book. And it's like, what if you just write to cultivate the skill of writing and to see what arises for you and to, it's because it's such a gift. Like if you're interested in writing, to cultivate that skill, you know, there's a book called Only is Better Than Best, something like that. And he was talking about how he wrote blog posts for 2 years before a publisher finally took any interest. And so it's not like you have to sit down and write an entire book right away and get it out there this year or in the next 2 years, although that could happen, right? That's totally possible and has happened for a lot of people. you can actually put your words to the paper again and again and again, repeatedly, out of kind of the delight and wonder and interest in doing it, and then allow a book to brim forth and bubble to the surface, if that's what's of interest for you and if that's what would like to emerge. There's no time frame on it, right? There's no like, well, I've got to sit down now and do it, unless you do have a publishing deadline. And for a lot of us, that's a super useful thing to have, right? It's super useful for me to have a deadline because I'll sit and I'll do it. But it's not about the deadline that really gets me to sit and do it. It's that's the external world thing. But I could just take a weekend and sit and do it with no deadline as well, right? Sometimes it's, what do I need in place in order to take action and in order to develop the habit of writing? Because writing is really a habit that's cultivated because, you know, we have families, we have jobs, we have, if you do, right? We have all these different things vying for our attention, and writing can sometimes come last, right? But if writing is valuable and important to you, then it's really vital that you cultivate ways that you're actually going to do it. And there are some, I have some tips for that. So now when we come back from the break, I'll share some of those tips and we'll explore some of the other big hangups around writing. Thanks so much for being here with me. If you want to check out the class, go to meetkathywilliams.com/upcoming.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on Om Times Radio. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Dr. Kevin here, and I want to invite you every Thursday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, to join me on the Dr. Kevin Show, where we have a diversity of guests who help you step outside the box, behind the curtain, and see what a load of crap is going on in the world today, so you have more information with which to make better decisions. We'll see you there. Namaste.
Would you like to have a life of more clarity and abundance? What's possible for you when you get out of your own way? Connect with Kathy Williams for private coaching or join her online to transform your relationship with abundance in every area of your life with the Radical Abundance Course. Kathy also travels, facilitating Radical Abundance and Access Consciousness Bars and Foundation around the world. She'll be in London, Hawaii, Hilton Head, and other fun locations soon. Visit www.meetkathywilliams.com for a class schedule to connect with Kathy or invite her to your region and get some free goodies.
Hey, hon, what you doing with your phone? Taking pictures?
No, I'm asking it questions.
Like what?
Hey, Bobo, do flowers have best friends?
I'm sorry, I'm afraid I don't know that.
Hey, follow me. I want to show you something. Look. Flowers do have best friends.
Whoa.
Some answers can only be found in nature. Discover the unsearchable. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a trail near you. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Sexy Mom Abundant Life, everybody. This is Kathy Williams. And today we're talking about writing and hang-ups about writing and challenges we have with it and, you know, before we even dive into any of that, if you like to write, if writing is important to you, sometimes it's super useful to tap into what is it I love about it? What's the energy of that, right? When I have enjoyed writing, what was it like for me? What are the qualities of that? Was it, there was a quality of flow, there was a quality of connectedness with myself, with creativity or timelessness, whatever it is. And to take a moment to write those down and to tap into those. And why would you tap into those? Because that's the state or the space of being that you're in when writing flows for you, when writing is fun and a contribution to you. So I wanted to go over some of the tips I have for creating space for writing, right? Like, you know, for me, I'm a mom, as many of you are, and early morning time is such a beautiful, uninterrupted time to get things done, including writing. And oftentimes, in the early morning, we don't have a lot of distraction. And if we can, one of the amazing things to do is to keep all external media and all the other vying for our attention off. All right, so that means you don't wake up and check your email right away. You don't check Facebook or Twitter or whatever it is that, like, you know, pulls at you. Because in this directed time, you get to allow whatever's going to arise from you to come out instead of what's pinged from the outside. All right? And even as you go to bed, sometimes it's really nice to be like, okay, I wonder what would love to come out of me tomorrow. Right? I wonder what would love to come onto the page tomorrow and allow that to come up. The social media that a lot of us go into right away actually pulls us into a different brainwave state. The more active, the more sometimes even stress-based, right? You wake up calm and then you get an email that just like shifts the course of your entire day. It's better to, if you're going to write, write before you read that email. So setting a time and a space as well can be super useful, right? The space often, like if you'll lay out a nice pen or if you use the computer, go for it. You know, I'm not against that. Use what works for you. I like a pen and paper, so I like a good working pen and one that kind of flows. And then a notebook I like, or a notebook with space, a notebook that feels good to me. So it's kind of like your writing environment, the right environment. And that allows you to come into your space and be like, yeah, this is my space to write, right? I like to write both at home, at a table, or I actually go to this place called Maui Tropical Plantation that's so lovely, and I just love the energy of it, and I'll go there and write as well. And being there is lovely for me because I'm not then distracted by, I should go clean up the kitchen, or, this thing I forgot to do, or I have this note around my house, I need to take care of this. I'm not distracted by that. I know that I'm there to write. And so that's worked for a lot of authors. I have a friend, Autumn Shields. She's an author and used to go to a particular restaurant to write. I have another friend, Claudia Welch, and she'd go to her certain coffee shop and just go write her book and finish her book. Change Your Hormones, Change Your Life. Great book. So oftentimes environment determines our behavior, right? If I know I'm at Maui Tropical Plantation to write, like I've deliberately driven there, I'm not going to just go feed the ducks. I'm there to write. All right. That's kind of like you don't brush your teeth in the kitchen, unless you do, right? You don't brush your teeth in the driveway. You go to the bathroom and brush your teeth and put the toothbrush away. And that's just your habit. And Jim Quick, who's the speed reading guy, said something that recently that I just loved. And he said, first, this is not verbatim, but first we create our habits. And then our habits create us. And I was like, wow. And that's the power of a habit that's really useful. Like, that's the power of a habit that's not useful, but like, what habits can we create such that we're making ourselves into the writer we'd like to be, right? The fewer steps there are between you and the actual activity, the easier it is to do. Therefore, you know, if you had to go to your garage to get your toothbrush and walk all the way up to the bathroom and then do the thing and then brush your teeth and then walk back down to the garage, not so effective, right? So if you lay out your pen the night before, if you lay out your, or you get your computer, you know, super open to the website you need to be on, or Google Doc or Word Doc or whatever it is, or Scribd, is that the name of it? There's such a great writing app I have used from time to time. And if I don't remember the name of it here, I will definitely tell you what it is. Where will I tell you? In the class. And on my website, I can put that on there too. So the habit can be cultivated by setting up your time and your environment ahead of time, right? Like, I know I'm going to write at least 20 minutes at 5:30 in the morning, right? Or for you, it may not be 5. It's like, before I eat lunch, gonna write. Before I eat lunch is my new habit. And then the other thing is, you don't have to write 4 hours at a time. So a reasonable ask is like, I'm gonna write for 20, 30 minutes today. And if that's not even doable, I'm going to write for 15, right? So that you don't intimidate yourself before you even get started, right? Okay. And you don't need 3 hours to do it, right? Okay, I'm going to sit for 20 minutes. It's awesome if you have extra time after that 20 minutes to keep going, if you're in the flow. Making that 20-minute commitment, whether you feel like it or not, and this is key, whether you feel like it or not, because there are going to be days you don't feel like it. You're going to be like, I don't have anything to say, and I don't know who I am to even think I can be a writer, and some brilliant nuggets can come out of that, right? You just say, okay, fine, I'm going to sit for 20 minutes, I'll write for 20 minutes, and you start to write, and you, I don't even feel like writing, and I'm not sure why I'm sitting here writing, and then something pops, like some new insight, or some story to write, or some character, this character who did something, whether she wanted to or not, whatever kind of thing. It's like, you don't have to feel like something for it to be amazing. And you probably know this on some level. Those of you who are clients, I know, I mean, who are coaches or healers, I know sometimes you don't feel like doing it. And you get in there and you just rock it. And it feels good and you're happy and in the flow. I have similarly musician friends and authors. Just do it, right? And I love this, but an artist friend said to me about 2 years ago, she said, you know, even when I don't feel like creating, I just go and I say, well, right now I'm just going to go and take 10 minutes to create something crappy. And usually at the 10 minutes mark or 20 minute mark, it's like, that's not actually crappy. That's pretty good. So you just get started, and that's the beauty of it. It's like, whether you feel like it or not, just go for it. Right? We can let not feeling like it stop us for 20 years. So, and you can use the 5-second rule. And that's okay. I don't feel like it, but 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, I'm not feeling like writing. I don't know why I'm even writing right now. Whatever it is. Oh, well, what would actually be a good character for my story? Oh, someone who's like my sister. And you just write. Some people find that, you know, doing some meditation ahead of time helps to center them. I find that especially really useful if it's not early morning and I have had distraction during my day and stuff like that. Turning the cell phone off for the 20 minutes or, you know, whatever duration you've set is really useful. Even turning the volume down on your computer if you're on the computer so you're not pinged by Messenger or all sorts of other little things. It can also be useful to create a target. Like it could be, if it's not so much about I'm going to be here 20 minutes, it could be I'm going to sit down and write until I've written 500 words or until I've written 1,000 words. Or I'm going to sit and write until I have 3 pages. For a long time, it was like that for me. I'm going to just write until I have 3 pages. And they don't have to be good pages. They can be edited later. And that is also a key to getting writing done. It's like, write now, edit later. Write now, edit later. That means your grammar can be off. Your punctuation can be all over the place. Doesn't matter, okay? You're just in the flow of writing, and then you can come back and fix it. Because editorial brain is very different from creative brain, right? Editorial process can be really creative too, because it's about like, oh, I wonder how it would sound this way, and I wonder what, but the all that punctuation grammar stuff is logical mind. Right. And yes, you may be accessing your logical mind when you're doing writing. However, it's just different gears, right? So, when you've done your writing, if you're willing to go back and read it aloud, that's another super useful thing to do because, oftentimes we write in a way that's a little bit more formal than we would talk. So, and you have to think about who your reader is going to be. And James Patterson, who's like the number one best-selling author. I believe he's the person on the planet who has the most number one best-selling New York Times books ever. Okay? He said... What I do when I write is I imagine my reader, typically a woman, sitting across the table from me. So I could ask her a question. You know, it's like, she's right there. What's she interested in? How would she like this to be? Instead of some unknown reader, right? And you could say, well, my book or my magazine article or my blog post, it's for everyone. Actually, it's not for everyone, right? There are certain people you do not want as your audience. Just like, there are 7 billion people on the planet, plus or minus, right? So are they all your reader? No, right? Like, I'm not even... Just think about, like, who is, if you think everyone's your reader, who is not your reader? Oh, Grandpa Joe is not my reader. Who is not your reader? Oh, you know, my cousin, Kevin, who does all the drag racing, he's not my reader. But you could do it that way. Like, okay, narrow it down. Who is actually my reader? And then talk to them. That way it's a conversation with them. If it's especially if it's a nonfiction like explanation book or if it's about your story, you know, tell your story to them. And then read it aloud. Because it's like, if you're talking to your best friend, but you're saying, when you sit down to write, make sure you take several actions that sound like this, right? That's, sorry, I'm saying it in such a way that people sometimes write like that, and that's not how we speak. We'd say, and you see it in books like You Are a Badass or whatever that is, where they're just talking in their own way, and that's not going to appeal, that kind of book might not appeal to my dad, right, or someone who's a little more formal, right, but they're appealing to the people who are their audience, and it sounds very much less formal. So you could, if you're talking about writing, you could say, for a long time I had hang-ups. I mean, you wouldn't say but for a long time I had hang-ups about writing. In fact, the first time I wrote in a book, it felt like getting naked in front of people. Like, this is how we talk. We sometimes use contractions, and we sometimes, we're a little less formal. If your audience is less formal, be less formal. If your audience is really a certain trade journal readership or things like that, that is more a scientific readership, be more formal. Have your facts, So write in the way that those people would be engaged, if that makes sense. Okay, so... And again, when you are, oh my gosh, here we are. One break I'm too early for, the other one I almost missed. Have a wonderful break, everybody. And thank you for being here at Sexy Mom Abundant Life. You're always welcome to call in or write in your show ideas. I love hearing from you, whether your grammar is perfect or not. And that's the editor's job in the end. So don't worry about that.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Would you like to have a life of more clarity and abundance? What's possible for you when you get out of your own way? Connect with Kathy Williams for private coaching, or join her online to transform your relationship with abundance in every area of your life with the Radical Abundance Course. Kathy also travels, facilitating radical abundance and access consciousness bars and foundation around the world. She'll be in London, Hawaii, Hilton Head, and other fun locations soon. Visit www.meetkathywilliams.com for a class schedule, to connect with Kathy, or invite her to your region and get some free goodies.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Sexy Mom Abundant Life, everybody. This is Kathy Williams, and we are talking about writing, and you can be an author. And the first part is getting started, putting pen to paper, creating a habit of writing, setting up your writing environment, getting over whatever blocks you may have. And part of it is just sitting down and doing it whether you want to or not. Right? And another piece too, especially if it's a longer project, right, like a book, is sometimes the organizational aspect, that element of like, oh my gosh, I have so many different components. Where do they all fit together? How do they all fit together? And what do I start on? Right? And what I invite you to, if that's the case for you, a really useful thing is to write things on post-it notes and move them around. And there is even Google Notes. So it's totally on internet and you can move those notes around. So that in so doing, you can say, well, this part comes first and then that part comes. And we're going to discuss this more in the right time because it's a class over 2 weeks where we're going to just, what's in your way? Okay, where are you at with this? What kind of support do you need? Because as one woman said, this is, you know, her words, she said, I need handholding. And that's what it is. It's like, yeah, got your back on writing. And I've helped shape a lot of different chapters into publication. And I used to work for a magazine in Northern Colorado as well. And editing for them. And it's about like when you have a larger project, that organizational aspect and also what's popping today, right? Let's say you're in kind of a frisky mood and there's a frisky part of the book. And so you're like, well, I'm not going to write the introduction today. I'm going to write that part that's kind of juicy today. And so you write that. And then you can stick it into your notebook or you know, stick it on a Google note saying, okay, I wrote that, it's titled this, and it's here. So that when I go back to my Google Docs, I can search that and find it. Or when I go back to my Word docs, I can search that title and find it. And okay, that is chapter 3. I know it. It's not quite finished yet. On your sticky or on your sticky on Google Notes, you can even say, okay, unfinished, but started. Okay. That way you kind of know where you are. And then you later at a later point, if it's chapter 3 and you say, you know what, actually, I really think I need to explain this and this before that. So this is going to be chapter 5 instead. You can make that reassignment. And that way, or, you know, obviously, if it's in a 3-ring binder, you can just move the pages, which is what I like to do. I like to be like, oh, you know what? This really explained that concept well. So let's put this, which sort of expands on that, after it. That way, it's this movable, malleable thing. And speaking of, some of you, I talked about reading your chapter after you've written it, or reading your paragraphs after you've written them. Some of you may even find that for you, voice dictation of the whole thing works better. And that's okay. I mean, that's amazing, right? You could be driving your car and be like, oh, I have this idea for a chapter. I'm just going to tell that story right now. And voice dictate it into notes on your phone or into an email to email yourself or something like that. So I use Apple computer. So that's just the vantage point I'm coming from. I'm sorry if you're like, I don't know what she's talking about. So then not making a priority. Again, you can look at like, okay, well, what is in the way of this for me, right? If I say I want to be an author, but I'm not actually doing it, okay, what's in my way of that? And then, okay, is writing really important to me right now? Or are these things more important? Or is there some kind of hidden thing going on where it's like, yeah, what's really underneath that? And what's underneath that? And what's underneath that? Oh, there's some sort of fear of judgment. Or if I really tell this story, my mom won't like that or whatever it is. And okay, that's what a pseudonym's for. Right? I mean, or yeah, I'll let her not like it. Right? And in the right time class together, we're going to clear a bunch of points of view, right? Because these are not only yours. You could ask, am I just aware of that point of view? Is that actually true? Have I just decided and defined that that's true and it's not? Because we do that too. Or, you know, I used to have this as I was working on the book, Relationships Done Easy, creating that in the back of my mind for quite some time, months actually, was this. We're going to be reviewed on Amazon. It has to be really good. It's going to be reviewed on Amazon. And when we finally were reviewed on Amazon, there are a handful of reviews. And one of them is negative, and it's clear he didn't read the book. It's clear. It's clear he came in with his points of view about the book and the topic and the tools, even, you know, prior to, like, reading the book. He didn't read it. And which gave me so much freedom around, wow, I've made this whole idea about being reviewed on Amazon a big deal in my head. And it's not really. What's the bigger deal is the people whose lives are changing because they're reading this book. You know, I've had emails and Facebook posts and people telling me face to face, like, Kathy, that's an extraordinary book. I give it to every one of my girlfriends. I've seen that a bunch of times, and one lady said, that's like my relationships Bible I give to all my friends. And if I had made it more about, like, the judgment that someone might stick on the book more than the difference that the book could make, I might still be editing the book and shaping those chapters. And you can edit for 40 years, and after 40 years, that thing will still be on your computer or still be in your notebook. And so really, for me, the easiest way to create something that actually gets out into the world is to have a conversation with it. You know, the Relationships Done Easy book was not supposed to have a chapter by me, or so I thought. You know, I was like, no, I'm just doing all the other work. I'm the book fairy, as one woman called me. And working with all the different authors. And then at the end, you know, I said, oh, are you complete? And it told me no. I got a clear sense of no, and I was like, what's missing? And then I got, oh, my chapter. So, and I had been asking all along, like, would you like a chapter from me? Chapter from me? No. Okay, cool. I'll do the other work. And then at the end, it was like, now is the time. So the book or project will inform you if you allow it to. What other people can I engage? Right? Sometimes it's a book coach. I myself have had a book coach that helps refine ideas. And I've been a book coach, you know. And the process is super fun because it's like a molding. So it's like, who can I add? What can I add? What character could I add? What story could I add? What kind of languaging would make this more engaging? Sometimes when we go back and read something, we say, oh, I used the word beautiful 5 times. What analogies could I use? Or what could the thesaurus offer me, right? What synonyms could I use to make this a better, a more engaging, more interesting story? It's all right to use the word beautiful 5 times. And to the author, to the reader, it's going to be so much more interesting if we add a variety of language and different ways of saying that. And well, what would evoke more of the quality I'm looking for? Like, it was a beautiful sunset, or it was a vibrant, expansive, glowing, you know, sun setting into the ocean. So what languaging can I add or change or tweak that would really finesse this in a beautiful way? And sometimes that requires other eyes on it. Someone who might not know the material you're talking about already. And being really aware of who you allow to see it. Is this, I was in a book, a writing group, and a writing group can be a super useful vehicle for ideas and accountability and stuff like that. And when you're reading aloud to a group, you just have to be aware that everyone's coming with their own point of view. Not everyone is going to be the reader who is your audience. And in fact, in my writer's group on Maui, there was a leader of the group and then several others of us. And there, two of us became authors. But the funny thing is, the leader of the group wasn't actually an author, and she would give her criticism, and sometimes it would just feel off. You know, it would feel more like she's just trying to attack it, not really like, she doesn't have our back in this. So that's why when it's a project that is for you and you're cultivating and it's not come together in its fullness, it's really important to be aware of what kind of person you're inviting into the project. Do they have a contributory energy, or do they have an energy that's like, I want to deflate, I want to, you know, judge and detract from this project? And I mean, that's true regardless. And so you have to remember that you've just created this story, this creation, and that everyone is coming to it with their own story, right? And so if they're judging you, that too is just a story. And often it's a story of someone who didn't have the guts to put their own article or book or blog out in the world. They'd rather troll you. They'd rather troll the creator than create something amazing themselves. And I've said that to someone, and he actually apologized. I had my very first hater on social media, and I was like, you know what? I mean, I get lots of wonderful comments, and maybe you could just go create. If you don't like my stuff, maybe you could go create something that really works for you and inspires people. And later he apologized to me, which I thought was so interesting. So everyone's coming with their own story. And maybe their leg hurts, and so they're in a nasty mood. And their trolly comments are not about you. It's not about you. And if you would like to explore the vulnerability of writing and what that brings up for you, or if you have more questions about where to start, or I don't know what to say, or who am I to write, right? Who are you to write? If you have a story, there's someone that's out there to read it. If you have more questions about any of that or other hangups, come join us for the right time. It's 2 weeks and clearing for 2 days. We meet 2 days in a row and then have a day off. And the hope is that on the day off, you'll continue to write. And then we'll meet again for 2 days and then have a day off. And in each of the sessions, first we address questions and beliefs and blocks, and then you write. So it's a 30-minute session, and 10 to 15 minutes of that will be, you know, talking, processing, helping you through, and then 15 to 20 minutes of that will be the writing itself to form a habit. Because, again, you create your habits. And then your habits create you. So if you'd like to be an author, then let your habits create you in that direction. So that class is starting Monday, and you're welcome to hop in whether you have experience or no experience. It's going to be a fun journey. So meet kathywilliams.com/upcoming. And thank you all so much for being here with me on Sexy Mom Abundant Life, making it all the way through to the end of the show. And I'll be here next Thursday, 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific. And if you can't wait till then, check me out on iTunes, YouTube, SoundCloud, and iom.fm. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week.